Today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And we have some announcements. We will not have blessing of articles after Mass today. Tomorrow, as our Father Superior announced last week, tomorrow is the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we are having a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So whatever sacrifice, whatever you can do to assist a Mass on this feast, you would honor God and the Blessed Mother and all of heaven. And it hasn't been celebrated for 2 years because last year it fell on a Sunday, so what a beautiful way to give honor to Our Lady under this title. So tomorrow, solemn Mass, 9 a.m. Tuesday, the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. So Monday, the feast day, is a high Mass, solemn Mass is 9, and then Tuesday, 8:30. And then next Sunday, we will return to the normal Sunday Mass time of 8 o'clock. I'm sure all of you are much more spiritually enlightened now because you bought about 90% of all the books last week. So we thought that would help you, and we appreciate the donation. There are some books left in the hall, so you may get those after Mass today. And then if there are any parents who have children, grades 2 to 12, that have not signed up their children for catechism classes, you can do that on the sheet in the vestibule. And this Saturday, as a final reminder, is the blood drive from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the hall. If you want to sign up and help your neighbor in whatever way you can in terms of donating blood, that would be a beautiful act of charity. So the paper is in the conference room to sign. The only saints we'll mention for today are Thursday, September 18th, is a feast of St. Joseph Cupertino. I mention him because some of us, I included, had the privilege of visiting his body right near the city of Loreto in Italy. As you know, he was called the Flying Saint because he would levitate and perform many miracles that way. And then the 19th, September 19th, this Friday, is the feast of St. Januarius and his companions, the martyrs. And to this day, his blood will liquefy miraculously on his feast only if God is pleased. If it doesn't liquefy, then the people in where that basilica is have to be warned because it's a sign that something's displeasing God. It's also the day that Our Lady of La Salette is honored, September 19th. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, have this mind in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was by nature God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking the nature of a slave and being made like unto men. And appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God also has exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 12, verses 31 to 36. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself." Now he said this, signifying by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ abides forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Yet a little while the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The secret of the Mass today, which is said by the celebrant just before the canon of the Mass, and is said in a low tone, and that's why it's called the secret, reads as follows: "We who are about to feed on the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom the banner of the Holy Cross was sanctified, beseech thee, O Lord our God, that since we have deserved to venerate that same holy sign, it may be ours to enjoy forever the effect of its saving glory." The sign of the cross, the sign of our redemption, that instrument that was deigned from all eternity to be the means of our redemption, because God the Son became man for the reason of making up for our sins, dying on this instrument of torture and death of those days of the Roman Empire. It should be especially significant for us. First of all, just some months ago, we reconsecrated, exalted the cross on our property outside after it was destroyed . Maybe it was an evil spirit, that's what some were saying right after it happened, that knocked down that cross. And as our Father Superior said, we will make it, bring it back, and make it so it can never fall down. And as I think you may have heard, the contractor said it is so sturdy that if you tied a chain to it, to our home, it wouldn't, even if it were blown down the house, it would still stay standing. It is so implanted. And I use that as a figure for us because that is how the cross of Jesus Christ is supposed to be implanted, buried in our bodies and souls. That's how we became children of God by the numerous blessings in the form of a cross that the priest performs in the sacrament of baptism. And in all the sacraments, and many, many times during the Holy Mass. It's been many years, several years, since this feast fell on a Sunday. And we want to just recall for those who have heard these words before about the history of this feast, but also for those who have never been to Mass on this feast day and not heard this account. But this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross commemorates many beautiful and astounding victories of the cross over the enemies of Christ and victories over the devil and his human agents on earth. So really, primarily it's four events which we want to just touch on briefly. On October 12th in the year 312, the Emperor Constantine was facing attacks by enemies of the Roman Empire. He was not baptized. As you know, his mother was St. Helena, but he himself was not baptized, and that was an unusual practice or custom for many centuries to wait till you're older to be baptized. He was fighting the tyrant Maxentius, who had three of the best Roman legions of soldiers. And the day before the battle, he prayed to God for assistance. And what happened? It's at the Milvian Bridge, this key strategic bridge where the armies had to pass. It would mean victory or defeat. And he saw in the sky an image of a cross. And so he was told by our Lord, by this sign you will conquer. You will conquer your enemies. So he, intelligent, maybe practical and spiritual, he took it, that symbol, and put it on the standards and on the shields of his men, and they defeated the enemy. They won the battle by the sign of the cross. Then 14 years later, on this very day, September 14th, his mother, St. Helena, found the true cross of Christ. She wanted to, maybe, and of course inspired by God to do this, to find the true instrument of our redemption, to honor it. And she had much wealth, being the mother of the emperor. So she, with her expedition, went to Jerusalem. And talking to the locals there, ascertained that this is about where the Calvary was. Remember, it was 300 years later, so things had changed. The area where the crucifixion took place was covered by Hadrian the emperor. And he and the enemies of Christ, the pagans and the Jews, who still were trying to hide the fact that their Messiah had come. Many were converted, but some were still stubborn. So they covered it with rocks and garbage so no one would even go there. And then on top of that, they put a temple of Jupiter, to Jupiter and Venus there. So there'd be no way anyone would ever find it. But she did find it. excavated and found pieces of wood. But it was more than enough to make up one cross. And of course, she realized it was three crosses buried there, because the other crosses of the thieves, two thieves crucified on either side of our Lord, were also buried there. How do you tell them apart? And what happened is there was a woman dying, and they brought her to these pieces of wood, and when she was near the cross of Christ, she was cured because she touched it. She touched the cross of Christ. There was, 9 years later, in the year 335, on this very day, Etheria the pilgrim saw these events and witnessed the veneration of the cross. Through the centuries, though, there are victories and apparent defeats. And what happened, there was this evil man named Khosrowes. He was a Persian, today a man of Iran, a Persian tyrant. Everyone feared him. He was feared and hated even by his own people and his own soldiers, because he committed terrible outrages. And what he did is he, in the year 615, he took his army and overran Syria, Antioch, Egypt, Carthage, and Palestine, and then Jerusalem, and committed terrible outrages. He destroyed churches, sacred vessels and relics were stolen, and many thousands of clerics, monks, nuns, virgins were massacred. And 90,000 Christians were sold for slaves to the Jews, and afterwards many were tortured and slain. This reminds me of what happened just a month or two ago in Palestine, and all over the Middle East, all these Christians are fleeing for their lives. The emperor, the Roman emperor Heraclius, begged for peace, but the tyrant laughed at his request and blasphemously declared, quote, that he would never let those men rest so long as they should adore one who had been crucified by other men, and that they should refuse to worship the Son. Well, he wasn't going to take this. So he was a pious man. The emperor Heraclius resorted to prayer and fasting. That's an example for us, what we must do in times of need and in persecution. So he raised an army. It took 7 years. And immediately after Easter, he led the army holding a picture of Jesus Christ. And he told his soldiers, I will never abandon you as long as I live. I'm going to lead you. And it took many years. 7 more years to overcome the enemies. He had many victories. He captured 50,000 Persians, the people of this evil tyrant, Khosrowes, the Persian king. He captured 50,000 of them, but he released them later because he realized they were being persecuted by their evil tyrant, and they, in return, these released Persian prisoners, prayed for his success because they had suffered so much under that evil leader. And back then they were praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary for victories. How many times that's happened? Military victories occur through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Finally, after 7 years, in the year 629, on this day, September 14th, Heraclius assumed control of most of Persia. And Chosroes, the evil tyrant, refused to surrender. And so he's put in prison by his son. And as you remember when I told the story years ago, his son forced him to eat gold because he'd stolen all this gold from the church and from the people. He forced him to eat it. Of course, you know, that makes him go insane and he died. And then Zachary, the patriarch of Jerusalem, who had been in prison, was released and the true cross was returned. And finally, the beautiful story of Heraclius. He had spent all these years in victory, and so he was in these beautiful robes, looking like a great, magnificent king, and he was carrying the cross back to where it belongs in Jerusalem. And he put it on his shoulders, but he couldn't move any farther into the church. He was stopped. He didn't know what was happening. He couldn't move, and the people were astounded. And then the patriarch Zachary said, "O emperor, think how little you are imitating the poverty and humility of Christ Jesus, when in triumphal robes you carry his cross." So here the emperor, in front of all these people, took off these beautiful garments, put on the clothing of a peasant, took off his shoes, was barefoot. Imitating our Lord. And then he easily carried the cross and restored it to the exact place where it had been missing for 14 years. What a beautiful story. What an adventure. What, in our day, what great movie could they make to inspire millions of people instead of comic book movies? We tell you this because these are real, true historical events showing how God will not be defeated. When those who are faithful will stand up and not be ashamed of their faith and not be ashamed of making the sign of the cross when they have to pray before meals at home or in a restaurant or at their friend's house or at school. All you young people, do you make the sign of the cross before you eat your lunch at school? Well, I don't want people to think I'm religious. That's why you're supposed to do it. If they ridicule you for it, good. But they're secretly admiring you and respecting you and respecting what you believe. Saying that you believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, our Lord, as he's portrayed on this crucifix, this great crucifix above our altar, used this instrument of torture, and you can say in an ironic way, because it's a symbol, it's an instrument of defeat and death and punishment. He took it and made it the source and the very means of our redemption, that conquered death. In fact, it's his judgment seat. Remember, at the end of time, it is believed by many theologians, saints, that in the East, our Lord will appear suddenly, without any warning, carrying his cross, the true cross. And if we at that time see him and we realize, here's our victory, finally we're vindicated, though we are attacked and ignored for decades now for what we believe. Finally, we are vindicated. Yes, when our Lord comes at the end of time, it will be a striking and very fearful thing. But the fear of the believer, the true Christians, the Catholics who are faithful, the fear will be fear of the Lord, reverence for God. For the enemies, it will be fear of punishment. It'll be too late. The graces have been given all their lives as gifts to come to God, and they have not only ignored them, but they have treated our Lord and his church and the Blessed Virgin Mary with contempt and ridicule. But they still have to honor the cross in the name of Jesus. That's what the epistle says, St. Paul to the epistle. Every knee shall bend, those in heaven, angels and saints in heaven, those on earth, all the faithful, all those outside the church, everyone's going to have to genuflect. And those under the earth, which is believed, souls in purgatory, souls and even the demons in hell. They have to submit to the authority of God. When we see on this, in this crucifix, this image here, and the cross that we hold at home, and the one on the end of our rosary when we say our rosary every day, we may get used to it because it becomes routine. Never let it become a routine or take it for granted. Kiss the cross. It's a sacramental. In fact, as you know, on Good Friday, all of you come up and you genuflect following the clergy and you kiss the cross because it is, has, the true cross has the blood of Jesus Christ saturating it. On Good Friday, and even on Palm Sunday the whole week, the cross is looked at in terms of the, especially the passion and death of Christ, how he suffered for us to make up for our sins, to be punished instead of our being punished. On this day, the cross is exalted, not forgetting those doctrines, but showing the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. When we administer the sacrament of extreme unction to someone who is in danger of death, the priest gives them, the person, the little cross to kiss before the ceremony, before the sacrament is given. But that's what we should do every day, several times a day. Look at the cross over your bed in your room or in your house. You should have a crucifix really in every room. Well, I have one. I don't want my friends to think I'm a fanatic. Oh, are you ashamed? Ashamed. Our Lord says he who is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him at the end of time, paraphrasing. because you were a coward and would not honor him even in your own home. That's what all of you parents should do. That's what the schools, the Catholic schools and hospitals used to do. A crucifix was in every room. Maybe that's why we've lost so many of the young people the last 30 years. Vast majority gone. I don't mean just from this chapel. I mean they don't practice the faith at all. Now remember, the whole point of our Lord coming on earth and becoming a man, having a private life for most of his life, and then 3 years of public life, performing miracles, teaching the people, preaching, all of this, culminated on Good Friday when he suffered on the cross. Of course, the agony and all the tortures of the soldiers and the humiliations and the spitting upon him and hitting him and beating him like an animal. That was even before he was nailed to the cross. The devil thought he was winning that day. You know that. Just like the devil thinks he's winning today. And all the thousands and how many evil souls think they're winning. Big mistake. Because on Judgment Day, they will realize there is only one God. And it's too late. I've hated him. I should have loved him. Obviously, God can give grace to anyone at the last moment, but as the saying goes, the way we live fundamentally is the way we're going to die. So it's a stern warning for all of us to be prepared to face God at a moment's notice. By practicing, how do we do it? By practicing exactly what our Lord did on the cross. Humility, patience, silence. Silence in the face of those ridiculing him. Obedience. That's a real hard one. Honoring his Blessed Mother. That was the day, the moment when he was on the cross that he gave us his mother. What a beautiful gift. We have the Blessed Mother to lead us to heaven. We cannot fail if we are devoted to her. If we pray the rosary, if we pray to our patron saints and our guardian angel, pray to Saint Michael. He steps on the head of the devil. Just because Lucifer, by the way, has so much power and he was the greatest of all angels, and he's such a deceiver and a liar, he is like a little grain of sand to be brushed off in the face of the power of God. Saying the holy name of Jesus can cast away Lucifer and his evil spirits when we are tempted. Lastly, we want to read just a small section of a quote of St. John of the Cross, that Carmelite theologian of about 500 years ago. St. John of the Cross, describing the agony of Jesus on the cross, affirms, "He wrought herein the greatest work that he had ever wrought, whether in miracles or in mighty works, during the whole of his life, either upon earth or in heaven, which was the reconciliation and union of mankind through grace with God. And this, as I say, was at the moment and the time when this Lord was most completely annihilated in everything. Annihilated, that is to say, with respect to human reputation. Since when men saw him die, they mocked him rather than esteemed him. And also with respect to nature, since his nature was annihilated when he died. And further, with respect to spiritual consolation and protection of the Father, since at that time he forsook him." And he concludes, "Let the truly spiritual man understand the mystery of the gate and of the way of Christ, and so become united with God, and let him know that the more completely he is annihilated for God's sake, according to these two parts, the sensual and the spiritual, the more completely he is united to God, and the greater is the work which he accomplishes." May God bless you.